As you mentioned earlier, John, people often hear the words fail-safe, and we use them so often that we forget what exactly that refers to. They're talking about a device, when it's used, that when it fails, it becomes safe.
Right, like a candle goes out.
Exactly.
It failed, where's the light? But it's right. Just a candle.
Right. And there's a number of power sources, power plants, gas plants, and coal plants.
Coal plants fail-safe.
Shut
down.
Right. But that's not true of a nuclear plant. There, maybe you call them fail danger, because when they fail...
Fail unstable.
Exactly.
Fail
they become more dangerous because they've failed. And that's what we want to talk about here, is fail-safe technology and how that's not present in a nuclear plant.
And it's what we're seeing in Fukushima every day. It's new spiking, new this, new that, instability.
Right. And instead of thinking them as in terms of new headlines, new disasters every day in Fukushima, this is all part of one disaster, which is as soon as that power went out at that nuclear plant, we had fail unstable.
And the backups didn't work. We've got this situation of instability that's going to go on for a while now.
Right. Joining us now, Lisa Marganelli, fellow at the New America Foundation. Lisa's the author of Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long Strange Trip to Your Tank. And Lisa, you know, we were thinking that perhaps one of the better ways to understand the lack of fail-safe in Japan is to remember that oil drilling is also not fail-safe. Now, an oil-fired power plant is fail-safe, but not the drilling. And that's what we saw with the BP disaster in the Gulf.
Well, I think what's interesting when you talk about this fail-safe is that the BP disaster had this valve on it, the blowout preventer, that when it was supposed to be that when abnormal pressure came shooting up the pipeline, these sort of big rams would slam across the pipe and shear it off. And that's exactly what didn't happen in the in the BP Macondo well. And then that was sort of jammed open. And then from that moment, the leak began getting worse and worse and worse, because you were basically the sand that was coming up the pipeline was scrubbing out the interior of the well, making it larger and larger and larger. So that it's an interesting analogy of things getting worse from the moment of the accident rather than the things shutting down internally. And I don't think anyone had really given much thought to that blowout preventer.
Well, you could call the situation in Fukushima the meltdown preventers didn't work.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. And then they had a number of them. Joining us also is Olli Heinonen. He's a former deputy director general for the International Atomic Energy Agency, currently a visiting scholar at Harvard's Kennedy School, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Olli, nuclear power in and of itself, the danger begins when the power goes off, right? I mean, the way that the reaction occurs and the way we control it, we can put all kinds of sort of mitigators in place. But once that power goes out, we have a problem on our hands, right?
Yeah, it's true. But then we have a certain redundancies in order to shut the reactor down. But in this case, all those were also gone with the tsunami.
So, I mean, when we're evaluating nuclear power, we have to take into account that the loss of power is a possibility. And in Fukushima, are you saying that really the problem there is just that we didn't have enough redundancies for safety?
I think that there were maybe enough redundancies, but not the proper ones, because people didn't think that the tsunami which came after this enormous earthquake was so high. They had, I think in one of the power plants, they had planned that it would be something like 6.5 meters, and even though it was 7 meters, and then the water came over. But, you know, having said that, you just mentioned that coal-fired power plants are fail-safe. Yes, that's true in a certain way, but we should also remember the effect of the emissions of various heavy metals and other things from the coal-fired power plants, which causes in this country deaths every year.
Yeah, that's not to say that the other energy alternatives are benign, but they certainly don't have these instability scenarios. Olli Heinonen, a former deputy director general for the International Atomic Energy Agency, you know, call me cynical here, but if I look at, say, the pictures, and sometimes you can buy them on postcards, of nuclear power stations around the world, they're often placed near bodies of water, and the pictures look actually very tranquil. You can go to Indian Point up here on the Hudson River here in New York. Fukushima was actually near the ocean. In a sense, the message from those pictures is our plan ultimate C is we sacrifice the river or the ocean, right?
Yes, they are built because they need water for cooling. And I think that one of the lessons is now to look, you know, the location and whether they should be further away from the shoreline, because you can still pump the water to cool the reactor, and you are just, instead of, you know, close to the sea, you are, let's say, 1 mile away, and then you shouldn't have any problem with tsunamis.
That's Olli Heinonen, a former deputy director general for the International Atomic Energy Agency and a visiting scholar at Harvard Hertz Kennedy School. Lisa, one of the reasons we're bringing this up is because we're wondering if the lack of fail-safe technology in something like a nuclear power plant, or even going back to the BP drilling operation, if that becomes a factor when we're deciding how to get our power.
Well, I think it's going to become a political factor because people are going to be freaked out by this stuff. Although we have gotten over the BP disaster relatively quickly, and it's perhaps we haven't learned the proper lessons. But as Olli was saying, you know, there are huge constant dangers from coal-fired power plants that actually cause deaths on an ongoing basis, but we don't see that. So I think there's really we're coming to a time when a lot of the easy choices, what we thought were easy choices about safe power, are kind of falling away from us, and we're needing to actually sit down and look at the actuarial tables maybe and make harder, more difficult decisions about energy.
You know, walking is fail-safe.
Yeah, that's true.
So, depends on your shoes.
Yeah, especially in a wheelchair.
Absolutely.
Even more safe.
Well, bicycle, yeah, wheels, fail safe. Lisa Marganelli is a fellow at the New America Foundation, author of Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long Strange Trip to Your Tank, and Olli Heinonen, former deputy director of the IAEA and now a visiting scholar at Harvard's Kennedy School. Thank you.